Thank you very much. Good morning, all. The presentation is at our website on Investors Artificial Solutions. You'll find it on the quarter four presentation. So I encourage you to pull it from there, since we're not presenting it here on the webcast. I'm going to be presenting it together with our CFO, Fredrik Törgren, today. And that is slide number two. I'm going to turn this over to slide number three and kick off. So hopefully most of you have managed to find that presentation. I want to say that Q4 was a quarter that we're fairly happy to have behind us. It's not, it was a very tumultuous quarter in many ways, but all the things that you see on this slide are still the foundation of this company. We are a multi-award-winning conversational AI. Conversational AI business is something that's expanding globally. We have 30+ languages, which is unique in this industry. We were founded in 2001, which is why we have been able to build technology for such a long, long time. We're listed on Nasdaq in Q1 2019, so we're now on Nasdaq First North, and we are the creators of Teneo. So Artificial Solutions has the most advanced enterprise conversational AI framework. We're going to come back to how this really plays, all this really plays into the strategy going forward. We've gathered natural language intelligence over the years, which is also key to being able to use the technology in all these different languages. We have patents and IP valued at $100 million. There's even been higher valuations, but this is a patent bureau valuation of our technology. Many great clients across the world, across industries. It's a very horizontal play across many different industries and many different use cases. And we have many great strategic partners. So moving into slide number five, we're going to go into the Q4 highlights. So what happened during Q4 is that we introduced a new software as a service business and delivery model. This is LUIS to the power of Teneo, which we're going to talk more about in this presentation today. We've had highly constructive discussions with customers. We introduced this in December, and both customers and partners have been very, it's been a very warm reception of this new product and this new use of our technology. We, on the other side, we also had some very interesting customer wins. In Q4, SelectQuote was one of our first customers on the new software as a service offering. It's a U.S. insurance broker, not very well known in Sweden, but well known in the U.S. as they provide only to U.S. customers. Also, HelloFresh, which I believe we've not announced the name of before, is the meal planning company, extends its engagement on the Teneo platform across many more geographies and countries. So very good developments in Q4 in terms of the technology and the usage of the technology of our customers. We also changed the organization of Artificial Solutions. The board recruited first me and the new management team. That's still a work in progress to build out the management team, but we have a good team in place already today. We also changed the DNA of our company since we had fewer managers. We are acting more in a startup mode where the company flows in more of groups and teams rather than maybe a hierarchical organization. And this is a startup DNA that we need as a software as a service company. We also took measures to adopt the organization to the new business model and make it fit for profitable growth. And that includes reducing the cost of our operation. That's slide number five. I'll now go to slide number six. And I'm going to turn this over to our CFO, Fredrik.
Thank you, Per. So key financial highlights in Q4 2020, starting with growth in recurring revenues, growing to $7.6 million, up 29% versus Q4 2019. And also usage to 3.0 million SEK, up 546% versus Q4. And of course, as Per already mentioned, the reduction in the cost base is also a kind of clear highlight for the quarter, and we will come back a bit later on that topic. Order intake was weak in the quarter with 9.4 million versus 17 million in Q4 2019. Q4 2019 was exceptional with many long customer contracts that we still actually have in our kind of backlog. So the comparable numbers are tough in that regard. And we have also, as we kind of pointed out in the Q4 report, have been impacted by COVID-19, but also with regards to customers wanted to buy in a SaaS way. So basically buying OPEX rather than as a CAPEX in accordance with our old license-based model. But we do have a lot of good interactions with new customers on our new SaaS offering, which is very promising for 2021. Gross margin improved from 55% in Q4 2019 to 65% in Q4 2020, a consequence of higher proportion recurring revenues. Cash flow also improved in Q4 2020 versus same quarter last year. And also, which is important in our transitioning into the SaaS model, is that we have a strong cash position end of year. So we recorded 20.1 million in cash, and following completion of the quarter, we also received 7 million in tax repayment in Spain, adding further 7 million to our cash position. Let's move to the next slide, please. This slide is basically showing our recurring revenues, and that is from our existing customers. Our recurring revenues, which is kind of license, support, and usage revenues, they grew from 27 million in Q4 2019 to more than 40 million in Q4 2020, and that is on a rolling 12-month basis, equivalent to a kind of strong growth of 49%. Usage revenues grew even more, up more than 100% for the same period. And I think our high quality blue chip customers that you see also on the slide, Swisscom, AT&T, Vodafone, Medtronic, Scania, Circle K, Folksam, TIAA, and Volkswagen Group, they experience growth in user traffic, and our installed base of customers are very important in our transitioning into a SaaS model. Many of our customers, existing customers, will continue in our so-called old license-based model, but many of them will also over time transition into the new model. And I think that is key also in our transitioning into over time a full-scale SaaS software company. Next slide, please. Focusing on OPEX, as Per mentioned earlier, so we have basically reduced our OPEX with 40%. And we communicated in December 2020 that we are changing our business and delivery model, and then also saw the need to adjust our organization to the new model. Consequently, we also kind of reduced the number of staff from 111 headcounts in 2019 to 63 headcounts in Q4 2020, a significant change. And I think the main purpose also with the reduction is basically to increasing span of control and focus on front-end and R&D, more kind of on sales-generating staff, and also limiting administration and also simplifying legal and reporting structures. The structure with many legal entities have been complex and expensive to manage. And the positive note of this change is also that it has been well received in the organization, and that is super good. And we can already now see the effects of our lower cost base, and we will get the full effect of the adjustments now in Q1 2021. We estimate that our operating expenses will be approximately 105 million SEK on an annual basis in Q1 2021. We want to give this guidance, which is a bit kind of forward-looking as there has been a cost base, and we think this is important for analysts and investors to recognize. That's why we are doing this Q1 run rate guidance, basically. The 105 million SEK run rate OpEx can be compared with Q1 2020 run rate of 178 million. So basically, as you can see in the slide, the reduction is expected to be more or less 70 million Q1 2021 versus Q1 2020. And the lower cost base, of course, gives us more flexibility and enables the company to continue the business finance from operations, or that we also have the opportunity to increase the investment pace to follow the market. Then let's go to the next slide, please. It shows the company's cash and bank position end of year 2020. And the cash position amounted to 20.1 million. On 31st of December, the company also had unutilized convertible notes of up to 35 million SEK, which the company itself can decide whether to use or not. So that's available funds for us. In addition, as I already mentioned, in January 2020, the company also received cash payment of 7.3 million SEK from the Spanish tax authority following completed R&D review of R&D investments. And this tax payment from Spanish authority further strengthens the company's cash position with 7.3 million. Adjusted and available funds is therefore 62 million SEK end of 2020. And given our lower cost base, which starts from January 2021, we are in a strong position to continue the transition to a software as a service company. And with that, I leave over to you, Per.
Thank you, Fredrik. So let's go into, I said Q4 has been a quarter of a lot of change. It's a quarter we're happy to leave behind us, but it's also a quarter that built the foundation for the company going forward. And in order to bring you on this journey to understand where this is coming from, it probably makes sense to also understand that I've been in this industry for the last six, 7 years, so in conversational AI and in the software as a service industry for longer than that, and working mostly with U.S.-based software companies. And I have a fairly good grasp of the industry. And if you look at the slide number 11, I'll try to explain what the relevance is of the changes that we've put into place. This is an old slide. I haven't really found a good updated one, but it would be if somebody took the time to update it. It would have even more competitors in the chatbot landscape today. Some of these chatbots are also conversational AIs, such as, for example, Core, which you see up there. And some of these are just purely chatbots, which means it's rule-based and not based on any AI technology, such as machine learning. The interesting thing with this is that almost all our competitors today are verticalized. They are competitors to provide a solution into a specific industry, into a specific set of customers. What's unique with Artificial Solutions is that our solution is actually useful across industries, and we also have customers from across all industries and also globally, which is quite unique in this space. And what you also see is that if you move down to the right in this slide, you see that there's a few tools And these are tools that are used by companies as they build out these conversational AI solutions, regardless of which vertical they're in. So these are tools that also move horizontally across the stack. You see that this is primarily the large software providers or large software as a service providers, such as Microsoft, it's IBM, it's Amazon. And there's a few others. Smooch.io has moved out of this space and is today a messaging consolidator. Rasa, however, is an open source toolkit to provide tools across the conversation AI space. The interesting thing is that artificial solutions is, from a technology perspective, a horizontal technology, and we are moving the positioning from up above as a verticalized trying to provide a solution to the customer to instead providing a tool set where the customer or the integrator can build the solution that the business requires. This means that we are moving and can sell across many different industries and to many different customers. Out of the tools you see, there's one that is a clear winner, and I'll discuss that a bit more as we move along, but it's Lewis, which is Microsoft. The blue circle above Lewis there is Cortana, which is also part of the Microsoft Azure Cognitive Services, so part of the Microsoft Cloud. Next step on this journey is the management team. I'll start with our CTO, who's been with us almost since the beginning of the company. Andreas is very knowledgeable in the space of natural language processing, AI, and has been very key to building the product into what the product is today, the Teneo platform. So we're very happy that Andreas is our CTO. We have Fredrik Turgen. Fredrik has experience both from sell-side, buy-side corporate finance, as well as being a chief financial officer of software companies and software as a service companies. So very relevant experience to the journey that we're on. Per, that's me, of course. Like I said, I've been in this industry for a long time. And in the last 6-7 years, I've also been in the conversation AI space, where we built a business that also Daniel and Fredrik were part of. And Daniel is a person who's worked both as a business developer in different industries, but also done everything from transforming large manufacturing industries to building a consulting and product in the conversational AI space. And then for the last years together with me in a quite successful endeavor. And then Fredrik Blomberg, and one very important step in building out a software as a service business is that it's a product-led growth strategy. You need to have a maniacal focus on understanding the customer and the customer's process of expanding the usage, starting to use and expanding the usage. And that's where Fredrik excels, and we call the sales operations. It's analytics and process-driven sales, where this is a cog in our machinery that's quite important. We have a few to be announced during this quarter, and that's in HR and marketing and PR, and we will continue, of course, to expand this team as we move along. So moving to slide number 13. As I mentioned at the tool slide, there's one tool and one cloud provider which has taken most of the large customers in the last year, and we've even lost a few deals to this, so many of, or several of the deals that we were looking to do in Q4 actually went to this player. It's Microsoft Azure Cognitive Services, where the key piece is something called Lewis. So Lewis is the natural language intent recognition engine, which sits in the Microsoft Azure cloud. The total market for AI software is, according to IDC, about $50 billion in 2020. Expanding up to 2024 to $110 billion. This portion that goes to conversational AI or natural language, which we are in, I estimate to be about 70% of that. So that puts it at about 35 billion. In Swedish krona, I would say that's 350 billion because this report was made when the dollar was a lot stronger than it is today. So it's a very large space, which is growing quite a lot. And what you also see is that digital transformation, as you see in the quote from Goldman Sachs American Technology report up above, the digital transformation spending budget is due to climb from 11% to 50% of the IT budgets of our customers over the next 5 years. And the top companies are expected to have the largest share of that gain is Microsoft by far, and then AWS. So AWS continues to take a lot of business in the cloud space. But when it comes to really serious enterprise applications, such as conversational AI, Microsoft Azure with Lewis is a clear leader. There's 1,700 companies using Lewis today. 1,000 of them you can find on Microsoft's website. And you see some of those logos below. So this is quite important. We have an industry where we can go in a horizontal manner as a tool, and we can attach ourselves into Microsoft Lewis so that we make Microsoft Lewis and Microsoft Azure better. And we also drive Microsoft Azure and Microsoft Lewis usage, which is a positive for Microsoft. So customers get to use their preferred cloud platform, and they also get to use our technology. And next slide, which is slide 14, I will explain how that all connects together with a schematic of the architecture of the solution. At the top of this, Lewis to the power of Teneo, as we call this, you have the audience, which could be internal users, external users, it could be customers, it could be employees. The audience will communicate to the conversational AI solution through different front ends. The voice, chat, messaging, apps that the customers built themselves. So you have all the different platforms that we connect into. And then on the left, you have those that could be Skype, it could be Messenger, and so forth. So these are platforms where the customer uses a technology. And to the right, where the customer has built a technology based on JSON or based on iOS or some other front-end platform. We connect that in through our conversational AI into what's called the Teneo engine. The Teneo engine is the runtime. It's what makes the application run. And we have today, customers are using more than 4 million sessions per month in this Teneo engine. So it's a proven engine and one of the few in this industry that can support that type of volume. Most of the other that you saw on that earlier slide are in the tens of thousands of sessions per month. If you're in the millions of sessions, you're one of the very few select in this industry today, and that's where we are. To build the Teneo engine and build a solution, you're going to be using what's called Teneo, or conversational integrated development environment. This is where you have Teneo developers, you have Teneo Studio, Teneo Languages, and Teneo Data. All those four together provide you with a complete solution to build out conversational AI. And this is something that is attested by our customers today. We have recently with one of the large accounting firms, which has a large consultancy piece, they've installed our solution in their center of excellence. And after 5 days of usage, they concluded that this will cut the development time of Lewis-based conversational AI solutions in Microsoft Azure by half. This means that you need less resources and you can develop faster. And so using our development tools, you can deploy into our engine, and then you can still use the Microsoft Lewis API, and you can use all the other APIs that are made possible by our engine, which are connections into Salesforce, Workday, et cetera, or also on-prem APIs, for example, into your DB2 database, your Red Hat operating system, or your UiPath RPA solution. So we built a solution that which connects Lewis into the wealth of the development that we provide into Teneo, and also gives you the possibility to use the engine, which means that you can now run the application that you built without building that yourself. The blue pieces here are typically by Lewis customers built by the customer themselves. This means that the customer needs to code, so they need to develop, either having a partner do it or themselves, and then they need to maintain this. And coding and maintaining is something that almost all customers moving to cloud want to move away from. So with this way, they get a cloud solution that provides all that, that they don't no longer need to code, which also has our 20-year experience and our language piece and our data piece. So a very, very interesting value proposition for our customers. I want to dwell a bit more into the market here and how the pricing and so forth works, but we're going to move first to just look a bit at the pricing, which our CFO is going to go through a model of how you can view the revenue from our new model without necessarily going into specifically the pricing, but what would a customer pay?
Yes, thank you, Per. Let's move to the next slide there. The new SaaS model, provides great scalability. We want to give some kind of guidance on how to model the revenue model. And also to provide some modeling insights to analysts and investors. Basically to be able to calculate the impact from the new model and the likely impact from us adding new customers. And see this as more kind of illustrative purposes than anything else. Starting on this slide, which is quite colorful, you can then look a bit to the left side, which is basically two bars dividing typical customers into a large customer group and a small customer group. And there you can also see the split between the revenues based on some assumptions. To the right, you can also see then two tables, small customers, large customers, and also then with the same colors as the bar charts to the left. And we basically have four main revenue streams in the new model. One of them is being training and so-called expert services. And those are most prevalent in the early stages of a customer acquisition process. And we have for that reason also excluded them from the bars on this slide. But then starting with the new kind of revenue streams, we basically have a monthly subscription revenues coming from Teneo Studio. And that is basically based on number of users. And that's the red color you see in the tables and in the charts. The second one is API calls, and that's basically API calls generated in Teneo Engine, and that's based on the number of API calls, and that's the blue colored part. And then we have Teneo Data, which is kind of our analytics platform to review users. Conversations and enhancement of the conversational AI solutions. And the revenues there is basically based on ingested data and roughly 10% of API call revenues. If we then go into what we kind of highlighted in terms of assumptions for this illustration, we can see that on subscription revenues based on number of users, we have assumed for small customers €7,500 per month and €10,000 per month for a large customer. And this is monthly recurring revenues. API calls are assumed to be €2,000 per month for small customers and €24,000 per month for a large customer. And this, of course, clearly shows that API call revenues are really scalable with volume and traffic. The bigger volumes, the bigger revenues. Teneo Data is assumed to be approximately 10% of customers' API call revenues, as I already mentioned. And looking at this, a customer that joins for the new model basically have to be paying subscription revenues. And as you can see in our illustration here, irrespectively if you are a small or a large customer, you can see that the annual impact from those revenues are 0.9 million SEK to 1.2 million SEK. So approximately 1 million per customer a year. And that basically means that if we, for instance, would add 50 new customers, that would mean 50 million SEK in annual recurring revenue from that revenue stream. And the blue part, which is related to API calls, as I said, they scale with volume and traffic. So highly scalable part coming from that revenue stream. And then we have ingested data, which is most apparent in the bigger customers, as you can see from the chart. So basically, in essence, a very transparent model, and it will also provide us greater predictability and visibility. And of course, I mean, key parameters going forward will be number of new customers and volume on traffic generated in Teneo Engine, basically. And I think we will also come back in the quarterly report for the first quarter on more details on new and relevant key ratios for our new business and delivery model. With that, I go to the next slide, covering financial calendar for 2021. The financial calendar is also available on our website, and we are expecting to deliver the Q1 2021 report on May 6th and Q2 following the summer in August 10th, and then Q3 report on October 28th. And with that, I'm leaving over to you, Per, for some final summations.
Thank you, Fredrik. So if you move to slide number 17, then this is the slide where which I would like to use to summarize what we are today and where we stand today. The first one is I put in $140 million of horizontal technology. If you look at an outside valuation, what this company has been talked about in the industry as a potential value of the technology, this is a number. So this is not a simple chat platform. This is a highly advanced development environment and runtime environment for conversation AI solutions. And it's quite important to keep that in mind, that the technology itself, very, very solid. We've had, as Fredrik showed, we've had 50% growth in what we call the recurring revenue, or the usage of our solution from our current customers, which is also quite encouraging, meaning that our customers are using more and more of the technology. We also had a cost reduction of 40%, and this is key, since this provides us with flexibility in moving software as a service forward. It's also simplified the organization, meaning that we can react faster to customer demand and what's moving in the market. Microsoft Azure and Lewis are key to our strategy today. There's 1,700 plus organizations using this technology stack, and it's easy for them to provide faster solutions, 50%, cutting the development time by 50%, by using our integrated development environment and deploying into our engine. So this is a great way for them to understand this. And we've started that communication now with the market and having a great reception on that. It's also important to understand that it's good for Microsoft, because we also drive more Microsoft Azure and more Microsoft Lewis usage this way. Bottom left, 13 billion software as a service. If you look at the team that we have today, they built a business before, which is today valued at 13 billion SEK. And it's important to understand that the software as a service business in conversation AI is a very lucrative market if we manage to just hit the right growth parameters, which I believe we have with the strategy. I believe we built a really strong foundation in this. The market we are in has a 22.5% CAGR, which is also quite interesting for us because that means there's new projects, new customers coming in all the time. The 100 billion roughly translates into market potential for us this year of 350 billion Swedish. If we take the natural language processing, the full AI scale that our platform is capable of. So it's quite a large market across the world as we speak, which to a large extent is covered by in-house development or smaller chatbot solutions, where customers are now looking for their new digital transformation platform, which is going to contain something much more advanced, which we will provide. The last one is quite interesting as well, because moving from a dedicated environment for our solution, which most of our customers have today, although it's virtual, when you move that into a cloud-based environment with a mix of energy that's used by Azure, you reduce the carbon footprint of the solution by 84%. Which is quite important in today's industry. And we read a lot about the cloud platforms and the cloud providers' data centers and how much energy they use. But first of all, that's peak energy. But second of all, it's much more efficient than individual data centers or data centers built or data sets built for individual customers. So the cloud in itself provides a much better environmental impact. So with that, we're going to leave it back to Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please hit the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. And the first question is from the line of Milan Radia of Hardman. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you very much. And thank you for the very clear description of the changes that have taken place in the business. I had a couple of questions. My first one is, within the install base, what is the kind of criteria that would apply as they think about whether to stay on the traditional model or migrate to the new model?
Yeah, so I'll take that. Hi, it's Per. The criteria that the customers are looking at is exactly the moving to the cloud, which everybody wants to do. So most customers are going to want to use software as a service. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to move to a new commercial model, but most of our customers today are within, let's say, 2 years, will probably have moved into this Azure-based delivery model. There's no real it's drive that most customers have not to manage things themselves. They want to have as a service.
Understood. And in terms of how the partners would think about this, I suppose their revenue model from delivering or selling and delivering to Neo changes in line with your model. What are the arrangements that have been struck with them? And I know you've kind of provided a clearly defined list of the partners that you're focusing your efforts with. So how does their monetization or incentivization model shift, if at all?
It does shift slightly since they're no longer going to be making most of the money from a resale of license. It's going to be more like the Salesforce and Splunk models where they make their money off of the professional services. And we do not provide that today. So today the partners are providing professional services, which means that that is where they make their money. Then to a certain extent, they're also going to maybe charge for the verticalized that they put on top of our horizontal stack. So let's say that somebody builds which is a relevant case right now. So a partner wants to build a hospital booking system where basically you get the patient and you get the resources into the right room at the right time using conversation AI. So we provide the platform, the partner would provide the functionality, and then sell that as a complete solution to the client. So there's two models. You either provide some kind of verticalization or you provide a professional services piece.
Understood. Okay, thank you. And within your kind of engagement with the Microsoft ecosystem, I mean, it's an open ecosystem, obviously, so you can leverage the APIs that are available to you. Has there been any need or opportunity to engage directly with Microsoft and the kind of Lewis development effort, or is that something that's not really needed at this juncture?
It's not really needed. So the Lewis is developing, and since it's fed by a lot of data every day, it gets better and better as we speak. And the Azure is quite an open ecosystem, as you said. We are engaging with Microsoft in some of the larger opportunities across EMEA and the US, where the customer does a longer RFP instead of, which is our preferred model, which is go on our website and start using Teneo and start developing. But if the customer has a longer RFP, then in a few of those cases, we are engaging together with the Microsoft sales team, but not with the technology team. So this is the ecosystem itself is, as you said, quite open to work with.
Okay. And just one final question. I may have missed this, but if I'm a standalone customer not coming through the Azure platform, as it were, so I'm not using Lewis Teneo, would I still be able to buy on a software as a service basis from you right now, or is that something I will be able to do in the future?
Absolutely. So one of the customers we mentioned here is such a customer. And what happens essentially is that we still drive Microsoft revenue. So Microsoft still gets to sell software as a service Azure, but the customer itself contracts, of course, to us and uses our technology only. But it's still hosted in the software as a service space from Microsoft's cloud.
So I got you. Okay, perfect. Very helpful. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. And there are no more questions at this time. I hand back to Per Ottosson for closing comments.
Thank you very much. It's been a quarter of a lot of change, a lot of transformative change for the company. We're very well poised for the digital transformation that's going to start happening in the world as we speak. So very happy that we have this base platform to build on, and looking forward to showing results of that in the future. Thank you very much.